Seeking the Wise Whys.
With Aaron and Alexander discussing the Just Philosophy.
Covering self-development, emotional processing, conscious relationships, and five levels of overall wellness. Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to the Wise Whys podcast. Alexander here, and really hope that you are enjoying these latest episodes that Aaron and I are giving a little bit more of a personal look into past episodes and expanding on the subjects. So please, once again, you can assist us by sharing it, by contributing financially to be a member, or to just word of mouth and spreading this information and where you got it from and turning us on to your friends and family. We really appreciate it. So last week or last episodes, we got into, or I got into, the five of the top aspects of self-development work from the Just Philosophy's mindset or understanding, or what the Just Philosophy promotes. And again, the Just Philosophy is a way of life. It's not a belief system. It is things that you incorporate to change your experience in relationships, in within the self, with a higher power, whatever you want to call that, and breaking family lineage, breaking patterns. So these are all the kinds of things that we get into. And so there's going to be many episodes that this covers, probably too many to list all of them, but I'm sure there will be some listed in the notes that you can check out to get deeper information around all of these subjects. Today, we're going to be focusing on five or six of the top aspects in relationships or conscious relationships. What falls under that is conscious communication. So that's kind of like where we're going to start here. And what does conscious communication in relationships mean? There are five main aspects from this view in conscious communication. And I like to use the word optimal. And these are five questions that you can ask yourself before engaging in a relationship-oriented question, whether that's an intimate relationship or possibly even business relationship or family or even friend. And these questions are, is this the optimal time to have this discussion? Is this the optimal place to have this discussion? Is this the optimal subject to discuss now? Is this the optimal person that I should have this conversation with? And paying attention to the optimal duration. Have I already been talking about this subject long enough? See, we want to keep people wanting more to come back to ask more questions. So sometimes we can be guilty of over-talking. So these are just a quick check-in when you start to engage with somebody to just run this list internally. And if you get a no with any five of those, then you may not want to engage in that conversation at that time. If you get a yes with all five, then there's a high likelihood that the conversation will go well. But remember, duration is key. So again, is this the optimal time, the optimal place, the optimal person, the optimal subject, and the optimal duration? So work with that and practice with that and see if that doesn't help your engagement and your responses in those engagements. Another thing that I really wanted to bring up is self-awareness. And we talked about this some in the previous episode of self-development, but self-awareness is very, very important where conscious communication is concerned, because you need to optimally be aware of the energy that you're bringing to the conversation. So see, sometimes people will work on changing their wording or phrasing because they don't want to elicit an emotional reaction in the other person. But many times they don't pay attention to or aware of the energy that they're bringing to the conversation. So many times, if it's a challenge, if frustration or anger or some emotion like that is involved, then I like to suggest to go have the conversation with that person without them being around. I call it putting it on the energetic grid. And so in this situation, you're able to say it exactly the way that it come through your emotional filters. If you're angry, then you say it angry, you release it. But again, this isn't to the person. This is in a private situation by yourself, and you're really looking to just say it how your adolescent, childish self just wanted to react in that moment. And I call this letting the pressure off of the pressure cooker. And then that will help when you release it in that way. Many times then when you do go to have the actual conversation with the person, you can carry a different energy and hopefully some energy of compassion, because when we are in those negative emotions, we forget things like aspects like grace and compassion, composure, those types of things. And this is many times more easily accessed once we have let that so-called emotional reaction style of verbiage go when no one's around. But see, it's important that if you think it, that you release it. Seeing energy as a thought creates it, and then verbiage releases it or amplifies it. And this is why many times failures in communications happen when people try to engage and they're still very immersed in the emotions rather than just releasing those emotions and working with how to rephrase it or reword it and carrying compassion and grace and love into that conversation. So energetic awareness is very, very important. And then if you have that emotional release and you still don't feel cleansed, you may need to wait a day or 2 days or something like that before you have this conversation. But I like to suggest inform the other person and suggest the time when you feel like you may be ready. That way the person doesn't feel like you're avoiding the conversation. The next thing that I really want to get into is the 6 priorities when relating and being in relationships. And lots of people don't know why they are even in relationships. As we discussed last time, we had 3 main questions in self-development of who are you, what are you passionate about, and how do you exemplify that passion? Well, here I want to add 2 more questions before we get to those 6 priorities. And the other 2 questions is, what are you looking to receive in a relationship? And what are you looking to give in a relationship? And this may need to be a list, but I also like to simplify it. In my own relationships, I feel very confident and comfortable in sharing the energetic, the mental, and the emotional side of things. So I want to offer that to all my relationships, that no matter what you're going through, I want to help you to see clearly, especially that mental, emotional, and energetic side. And I'm also going to touch on the physical and the spiritual as well. But see, in my intimate relationships, I like to be inspired in those areas. So I'm willing to cover 3 if the other person or people enjoy covering the other 2, which would be the spiritual side and the physical side. I like being inspired to physically work out or to focus on the spiritual aspects of life. And again, in the Just philosophy, that is the practice of faith, the practice of trust, the practice of non-judgment, and the practice of gratitude. So see, when I'm around somebody that actively and verbally practices those aspects, it inspires me to do that even more than I already do. You know, I have my 5 levels practice that practice this almost every single day, to practice the physical, the mental, the emotional, the energetic, and the spiritual or religious. And so I put effort into that every day, but I like to be inspired in my relationships. And those are the 2 areas that I really feel like is very useful for me to be a little extra inspired. So now the 6 priorities. These aren't listed in any order, but I feel like these are important for people to be aware of, because most people aren't aware of all of the roles that they're playing in the relationships. Last time in the three questions of who are you? Many people have lots of different nicknames and names, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you can see that energetically, you're pulled to play a lot of different roles if you learn, if you utilize different names. The less names and nicknames that you use, the more you're able to show up consistently as your authentic self. And so in this one, I'm going to give you the list of it's that God or divine energy, whatever you want to call that higher energy. It's the self is the second one. Your intimate relationship is the third one. Your children, siblings, or parents are the fourth one. The fifth one is your hobbies or social engagements. And the sixth one is your career. Now, I like to suggest that when you do this practice to put these six in order, in the very beginning, most time when people hear this, they think it's going to be really easy. But when you truly have to choose one before the other, you find out how challenging it is. And I like to suggest that you're only going to be able to do 3 to 4 of these fairly proficiently. There's going to be at least two that really don't get a lot of attention. Or if you're dividing all of those six up, so you can see that there's only a certain amount to go to all six. And so you may not be reaching satisfaction in any of them if you're working hard to focus on all six simultaneously. So my suggestion is to hone that down to 3 ideally, but possibly 4. And when you have these in order, see, it helps you with social invitations or professional invitations that you can, if possibly hypothetically the top 3 are the divine, oneself, and then one's intimate relationship, then see when extra stuff is offered at work or invitations happen through social situations, you can look right away and say, well, I really want to give my priority to these top 3. So the answer is going to be no with the job situation or with the social situation. And that can help one to stay centered rather than stretching themselves too thin. And so again, there's no wrong way to do this order list. Again, it's a higher power, something outside of the self. Then it is the self. Then intimate relationships, children, siblings, parents. Then there is the social time. And there is career. So in looking at all 6 of those things, these are just 6 basic, and I'm sure people can add others too, and feel free to add and replace. But the main practice here is so that you're cognizant of how you're spending your time and how much and when and where with whom. And this can help with discernment and decision-making greatly. In these private videos, I'm really working to highlight certain areas so that then you can find the podcast that would go in depth with these and utilize those for more information or write us questions. We love questions. We love to answer those questions and stimulate that relationship between our listeners and ourselves. Now I want to get into what I call the 6 aspects of relating. And here we have attraction happens. Sometimes we're not looking to be attracted to someone, something, or somewhere. And it happens out of the blue. And so accepting that attraction is going to happen, but we don't always have to pursue it. That's a big key. Many people get attraction mixed up with feeling like they've known this person before or feeling like they have a deeper connection. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen with people that we're attracted from time to time, but many times this is taken for granted and we think that attraction is leading us towards something. But this leans into that love is developed over time. Okay. So see, once you recognize that attraction, you want to manage that energy because you want to realize if I'm going to engage with this person over a long period of time, then this needs to develop. And attraction is only 1/6 of this formula. It's no more important than any of the rest of them. The love is developed means that we need time to get to know each other. We need time to see each other's flaws and love each other through those flaws and uplift each other as best as we can. So the next one or the third one is that trust is earned. Okay, so again, time is our ally and our friend here. Trust shows over a period of time how somebody is going to show up for you day in and day out. And that's very, very important. But many people can be guilty for giving your trust away before that time is properly established. So this leads us into number four of respect should be given. See, many times people give their trust when that should be earned, and then they don't give the respect. When we should give people respect right away and then make adjustments if they treat us disrespectfully. But let the trust take time. Consider giving the respect as soon as you meet somebody or a situation. The next one or fifth one is forgiveness is imperative, people. Listen, I know sometimes we want people to pay the cost for what we feel like they did to us. And I can't express enough how nobody gets away with anything. Again, everything's in divine order. Everything will be taken care of, even if it looks like someone is getting away with something and they're handling it in a negative way. Because see, when we blame, when we judge, when we hold grudges, that deteriorates our energetic field, which eventually deteriorates our physical body. It brings in illness, injuries, and one of the hardest ones for people to do is to forgive, especially when they feel like they've been unfairly or unjustly treated. And to see right away that and to trust, and this is again bringing in that spiritual level to where you practice the trust, the faith, and the non-judgment and the gratitude. That when somebody mistreats us, they're giving us an opportunity to learn something. And when we can learn something from the situation, we can shift them from being the antagonist to the teacher. And you can't judge and learn simultaneously. It's very, very difficult to do. So if one chooses to be a student of life, then see, they want to get rid of that judgment and they want to forgive as soon as possible. And the secret to that, or the key, is learning the lesson that's in it and being able to shift them from the antagonist, like I said just a little earlier, to the teacher. And then you can always thank the teacher, because that won't happen again. This is the adjustment that I'll make moving forward. And then this sixth one is, it's not new, but it is one that hasn't been discussed when I've brought up these five aspects in the past, but it is really six. And I feel like this one is important, that energy remembers. So see, this is why it's hard for some people to break patterns, because they don't change their energetic field. So many times people will change their thought processes about how they move through something or how they respond to something, but they're not adjusting the energetic aspect. Because see, if you're holding on to frustration, to blame, but you say the right thing, energy doesn't lie. So many times the energy will take more precedence than the words. And this is where a great saying of, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. And it's the how you said it is the energy that's behind what you say. So again, energy remembers, and we need to break that pattern. And we see many people bring old baggage or old energy, old experiences into new relationships. And one of the main aspects of this is they haven't forgave and they're still holding on to resentment. And guess what? Now they're going to be triggered in your present relationship by something that happened similar that's happened in the past. But things can't be resolved until we change how we respond to things rather than react. So again, that is, attraction happens, love is developed, trust should be earned. Respect should be given. Forgiveness is essential. And energy remembers. So I hope you really resonate with those six aspects of relating. And again, send us questions, comments. Each one of these lines, a person could spend weeks, months, years practicing to truly hone these six aspects. So continue to work with it. Don't beat yourself up when you fail. Just look at it as, okay, from this point on, moving forward, I'm going to work to do better. I'm going to do better. Okay, now I want to talk just a little bit about roles in relationships. And I've broke this down to four roles. And again, I'm sure you can add more, but I felt like these four roles really covered the main aspects of relationships. Again, no matter what the type of relationship is, but this is very connected to raising children and intimate relationships. And this is, are you looking to be the protector? Are you looking to be the provider? Are you looking to be the nurturer? Or are you looking to be the teacher? So if you take those four and you put them in another list and you just really look at putting these in order as to how you really feel like you show up, because this will help you to understand communication breakdowns. See, if somebody shows up as a protector first, every time that they engage in a conversation, but the person they're engaging with is coming to them looking for a nurturer. See, there's going to be a communication breakdown that happens there. We can even get into asking people what they're looking for by giving them those four choices. People don't always know what they're looking for. But if somebody comes to you with a problem or a situation, to simply say, hey, I can show up as any of these aspects. Do you need protecting? Do you need help from a teacher standpoint? Do you need nurturing to just be held and told that it's going to be okay? We will work through this together. Or do you want to be the provider to maybe help them to get the help that they need or to give them some financial support? These roles have become very clear to me, even in strangers, when I see them engaging with other people. And this is one of the most common issues in failures to communicate that I've seen and been looking for over 26 years now. When people get together and they're trying to talk about challenging subjects, is that the roles that both parties are playing are not on the same wavelength. So see, if somebody is looking for help and the person they go to shows up as a teacher, then that will be in harmony. But again, if they're looking for help and maybe they're stressed out and the person shows up as a protector, oh, I'll take care of it for you. I will go talk to this person. You know, that's not necessarily helpful. Or if they just want to nurture you and tell you that, you know, things are going to be okay and give examples of similar situations they've been through, that's not necessarily giving you information to help you moving forward. So I hope that you can see that whether you're looking at this, these four characteristics and roles that we play in relationships, as whether you're on the receiving side or you're on the giving side, it can be very, very useful to be clear in what you are looking to ask for or what you are looking to give. And again, now we bring this back around to self-awareness and looking to respond in life rather than react to life or to people. And see, in response, there is consideration, there is grace, there is compassion, but sometimes that needs more time than most people want to give it. The other highlight that I want to bring in here for extra credit, so to say, that was connected to the self-development is what the Just Philosophy labels as the three R's. And that is, again, to recognize the person, place, or situation, to show it respect by recognizing the emotional reaction and working with the five pillars is what we suggest of the Just Philosophy to get back centered and balanced out and non-emotional, because we show respect by not emotionally reacting. And then the third R is to redirect your energy. And see, a lot of people, they recognize and then they want to redirect right away. But in the redirection, they're still carrying this emotional energy that interferes with the process of correction. So this is why a lot of people fail in changing their patterns even after they recognize it, because they're going from recognizing it to redirecting, and they're skipping the step of respecting, learning to respect. And the optimal respect is for other people and situations is when we're not emotionally reactive, when we're willing to sit in a challenging conversation and not take everything that's being said personal, to not feel the need to defend, to not feel the need to judge because we're taking this opportunity to feel judged. See, conscious communication is just that. It's about learning to communicate and respond to each other's words rather than react to the words. And those reactions, see, are many times connected to past experiences that people have gone through, possibly 10, 15, 20, 30 or more years ago. And so this is why that respect level is so important. And I'm going to bring in the word acceptance, which is one of the biggest words in the whole Just Philosophy. Again, acceptance doesn't mean that you condone or approve of the action. It merely means that you're going to cease having resistance to it. And this is part of conscious communication, that you prepare when somebody wants to talk to you about a certain subject, to not get defensive about it, to not start working on your game plan to attack if they attack you, but see, to work on softening, work on being willing to hear whatever this person has to say, however they say it. I'm going to accept it. That doesn't mean that I'm going to agree with it. And many times in conscious communication, both parties ideally need to present their case, like the beginning of a court case. They just get to present their case before they go into asking questions. And I've seen and proven in my own experience and with many, many clients that when you agree that, hey, we're not going to look to resolve this situation in this conversation, what we're looking to do is we're looking to bring the points of interest out. And so if both parties get to just speak their truth of the way they feel in that moment or over the last few days or weeks with everything that's going on, and we don't need, or we're not going to take an opportunity to defend it, to correct it, to change the perception, we're just listening to what is being presented. Then after the first person presents the way they see it, then the second person gets to present the way that they see it. And then maybe you need to take a few hours or a day or a few days before you talk about specifics, because part of respect is taking what people say and processing it, wanting to understand their intention, wanting to understand where they're coming from, and then work with how to clarify through language what your original intention was. And this is very important, I see, in conscious relationships, that we get more focused on what a person intends to get across rather than the word and phrasing selection. And a person that stands in their power and is clear in who they are, what they're about, what they're passionate about, and how they exemplify it, see, there's no need to be defensive, because we can all agree that people misunderstand people all the time. Maybe they didn't hear everything completely. Maybe there's judgments, preconceived judgments coming into the conversation. So there's many different factors that get in the way of communication breakdown. And I love the word conscious communication or conscious relationships, because what that consciousness means is that you're taking into consideration the overall good of everyone involved. So see, when you carry compassion and you carry consciousness, you're at least aware, or you have an idea how your words or how your actions are going to ripple out and affect other people. And consciously, and being in love, we want to negate as many of those ripples, especially negative ripples, as possible while speaking our truth. So again, I hope that this is very useful. It's a condensed version of how to grow conscious relationships in all areas of your life. So once again, Aaron and I are very thankful for everyone that that supports us in the many different ways that you do. We have a way to purchase the podcast on a monthly basis or a yearly basis and get full back catalog of over 150 episodes, over 1 hour, each of them are over an hour as well. So it's a lot of information, and we're enjoying doing these little snippets. Aaron's sharing over his 7-year experience of working with me in this philosophy. He's able to share some epiphanies that he's had and things that have shifted. And those are beautiful, intimate connections. And here, intimately, I'm being raw and vulnerable with you beautiful people as well. But I'm doing my best to stay on task to give you the information in a condensed version so that you can practice it consistently. Because again, remember, gradual changes over long periods of time equals lasting results. So we need to practice these concepts and these actual practices for long periods of times, weeks, months, years, before we really understand that we're actually making a change in our life. So much love to all of you that care enough about yourself and those around you to work on yourself, to be compassionate with others, and to hold on to as much consciousness and presence that you can. So much love your way, and please reach out to us at The Wise Wise. And you can also reach out to me for private sessions at thejustphilosophy.com. And that's thewisewisepodcast.com as well. So much love to you all.
Thank you for listening to this free version of The Wise Wise Podcast. To hear the complete conversation and go deeper into the application of the tools and techniques of the Just Philosophy, head on over to wisewisepodcast.com and become a premium member. You'll get to hear all of our complete conversations, including the complete episodes of our Inward Journey story series and our entire back catalog, and continue your self-development journey with us. We honor your dedication to self-growth, overall wellness, and continuing to ask the wise wise.
And remember, gradual changes over long periods of time equals lasting results.
Continue on your self-growth journey by visiting thejustphilosophy.com, where you are able to connect personally by booking a private consultation with Alexander in person, by phone, or Zoom. Uncover your authentic self more easily with a human design or destiny card consultation. Here you will gain information about your energetic makeup, personality, and your higher self, as well as navigating your way through your relationships. There are also multiple types of reports available for purchase that help you gain insight into your career, relationships, and opportunities for self-growth. The site also allows you to view a calendar of Alexander's live performances and class schedule, peruse other products such as shirts, CDs, and finally, the revolutionary VibroTune vibrational sound therapy tables. These contoured therapy tables allow you to bathe in a vibrational sonic bath of frequencies, bringing you into alignment on all levels. You will be feeling and hearing calming music synced through vibration and frequency. So again, you can grab all this goodness at thejustphilosophy.com, thejustphilosophy.com. The Just Philosophy, as discussed in this podcast, has been developed by Alexander over the last 25 years in his personal studies, private practice, and professional environment. The information discussed is intended for educational purposes only and is not meant as a replacement for conventional medicine. Just remember, knowledge plus experience equals wisdom. Seek the wise. We want to thank you for working on you. Keep shining your light and refining your vibe.